Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch,
On the Couch
with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch, as you always are Fridays here, Pacific Standard Time, 11 o'clock, por la mañana. Nice to have you here, guys. Welcome. As always, I have a great show for you today. It's going to help you understand yourself, but more importantly, your relationships and the problems you've been having. And how to understand other people and why they do the things they do. I have a great author today. And man, this guy's renaissance. We're talking an attorney, a neurosurgical specialist, medical doctor. He knows a lot and he's studied a lot of relationship issues. So you're going to get some really awesome information today. And I also invite you, as always, to call in if you have any questions or, you know, input. Or if you'd like to share your experiences that you have had in relationships, which have not been all that great. Or, now, come on, we always have to hear the positive. I love to hear the positive stories. So you can also share why your relationship works. Some of the things you guys have done that really has made it the best in your life. So the number here to call, if you'd like, is 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. Or, of course, what you can do is you can email me directly here at the station if you, you know, don't want to get your, you know, voice on the radio. You're a little shy. Mm-hmm. We have two email addresses here. You can check me out. Doc Michelle, D-O-C Michelle with two L's at AOL. Doc Michelle at AOL, or on Gmail, you can do the Straight Talk Doc. Straight Talk Doc. And that's what we do is here. Tell it like it is. That's what we're about. Let me ask you guys something. That's really a burning question. Well, it is for me. Why is love so complicated? Why? I mean, I'm a marriage and a relationship specialist. I work with a lot of people. I also do individual help to find out why they think the things they do and behave the way they do, which really reflects on their relationships. But a lot of people come to me and say, I'm just not going to fall in love anymore. I'm not going to look for anybody because it's a headache. And it's a heartbreaking adventure. I've had bad experiences. Both men and women have said this to me. And so many people involved in heavy relationships who've gone in and out of relationships will have deep scars that really are difficult to get rid of. And yet we're always eager to go back and try time and time again. We're always really ready to couple. And why is that? Well, simply because no matter how hurtful love can be, it's still probably, I would say, the most fulfilling emotion known to human life. Love. It's a good feeling. It's a high vibration. A life without love is a life not fully lived. Yep. And then you'd ask, well, why would God, if there is a God, if you're agnostic or whatever, or religious, or even, you know, if you're an atheist, why would we be born into this world to make such a beautiful thing as love so complicated? Well, it's our journey to learn. That's my answer. That's how I feel. It's all a journey, and we need to learn how to do that. That's what I feel, guys. You know, I would say that I do think love asks more from us than anything else. But you have to have a commitment. Love demands your full attention and a lot of your energy to really make it work. You know, it's not really love that's so complicated, I think, but mainly it's ourselves. who can't really live up to expectations. You know, we tend to believe that words will make up for our lack of devotions and sex will solve all of our shortcomings in a relationship. It's great in the moment, but it's a lot more than that. It's a lot more than physical satisfaction and beautiful words, you know. And sometimes we jump into relationships without being sure of how strongly we care for the person and what we need for us. How to take good care of ourselves, as I always say at the end of the show. As you guys know. But, you know, we have our own issues to work out. We have to get through that. But anyway, yes, it is difficult. It is complicated sometimes. Now, I'm not trying to get you guys negative or put you on a bummer here. We're going to go to the positive. And that's where my special guest comes in today. He is truly a Renaissance man. He's a medical doctor of neurosurgery. And among many other specialties, he's an attorney specializing in helping patients who've suffered from medical malpractice issues. Through his legal work, Dr. Charles Rawlings has gained particular insight into the world of human interaction, especially male and female relationships. And, you know, we're talking about his latest book today. It's all about that. It's entitled, It Really Is That Complicated. And we have Dr. Rawlings on the line with us right now. So nice to hear from you. Thank you for being on the couch here.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be there. And I just thought I would make a couple of comments. It really is a journey, and it really is that complicated. And at the end of the day, you do need to know about yourself and go into a relationship with eyes wide open.
Wow. You know what? Just what you said. That's why I love having you on the show, Charles. you know, you always just cut through the BS and you get to it. And that's right. Your book, by the way, is really good.
Well, thank you.
No, it's, you know what I appreciated about it? It's because you are such an educated man and you're a doctor of neurosurgery and an attorney. My goodness, what a high achiever. But the book is easy to understand and very clearly points out how people can really help themselves. And I also love the way you talk about men and women and the way they think and perceive others as well. Because we're different, huh? We really are.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question at all that men and women are different. Even if you look at hard physiological evidence in terms of how the brain reacts and when it lights up under certain situations and certain circumstances, mm-hmm. We are definitely wired differently.
Isn't that nice? Isn't that great?
I find it fascinating.
Yeah. You know, I really do too. And we can talk a little bit more about that as well. But I'm always interested in especially you and your motivation for writing this book. A lot of my authors have some really important events or experiences in their lives that really inspired them to write their books and teachings. So what were some of the things that really pushed you to get this message out there in your book? It really is that complicated.
Well, it started after my divorce. It was, obviously I entered into the, I guess it's so-called modern dating arena, and I was, I guess, intrigued, fascinated, and sometimes appalled by some of the interactions between men and women, and not just necessarily me mm-hmm. and whomever I was dating, but also the other folks that I was talking to mm-hmm. about dating, particularly my friends, and so I was, I wouldn't say spouting off, but at least giving my opinions as to modern-day relationships and dating, and their response was, this is all great, but why are you limiting it to us, your friends? Go mm-hmm. write a book if you feel that strongly. So that's what I did, basically.
Good for you. So you had a lot of different experiences, and just I don't mean to get too personal with you, Dr. Rawlings, but you did kind of get out there in the world of dating, and you met a lot of people.
I did meet quite a number of people, but it wasn't always that. It was also the way other people talked about their prior relationships and their prior dating history. Mm-hmm. It's all a compendium of that. Obviously, I put some anecdotal information in the book about myself,
yeah.
but that was mainly for just illustration. This
sure.
is sort of a compendium, a summarization of a lot of folks' experiences. And I'll
yeah.
you know, I'll caution everyone, this is not, you know, for the 20-year-olds or the 20-somethings, when this is more from a mature, evolved male's aspect and a mature dating relationship aspect.
Mm-hmm. Because those 20-somethings will find their own experiences, and they'll be in and out of relationships, and they'll learn a lot. You know, to get to the point to where then they can read, it really is that complicated.
Absolutely. And when they'll get to the point where they say, I want to be, as you would say, committed.
Right.
And once they figure out they're committed, they want to be committed,
right.
then it opens up another door and another different set of experiences.
Boy, it sure does. It's really important. And by the way, if you have any questions for Dr. Rawlings, feel free to call in, guys, here, 323-203-0815. And we're talking about his book, It Really Is That Complicated. It's really trying to figure out, now I'm ready for a committed relationship, or I'm in one, and what do I need to do to clean my act up so I can make this work, basically, right? You know, so why do you think it is so difficult for men and women to find special loving relationships?
Wow, that's, we could talk all day on that
yeah.
one. First and foremost, it's that both male and female, men and women, are different. They approach problems differently. They approach relationships differently. They approach experiences differently.
Mm-hmm.
They just approach life differently. Mm-hmm. And trying to merge two independent, I'll just assume they're intelligent human beings, into a relationship when they bring their own baggage,
mm.
their own filters, their own experiences with them,
mm-hmm.
and that colors them one way or another, and trying to integrate it into another person's life, that's what makes it difficult. And
yeah.
many times, they don't know what they want, just like you said.
Sure.
They have to know what they want. They don't know what they want. They expect their partners to fulfill many, many different roles and many, many different, I guess, holes in their own life experiences or their own psyche.
Yeah.
And it puts a lot of pressure on the folks in a relationship. And then when you add in loving or love, just even the tail end of what I caught, that people don't necessarily understand what love means or
mm-hmm.
what love is, or they have two different interpretations of it, or two, maybe 10 different interpretations of it, depending
mm-hmm.
on the relationship they're in or what they need. And you've got two different people trying to make a relationship work.
Mm. Yeah. And, you know, you really nailed it, Charles. Something that I hear often, and I know you have too, is when people argue and, you know, they come in, I don't allow a lot of arguing during the session because it's just not getting anything done. But, you know, when I just sort of get to see...
I agree. Yeah, it doesn't. Absolutely.
Exactly. When I get to see a pattern of their behaviors, what I find is that they haven't worked on themselves first. So they're trying to have other people fill the holes. And, you know, I think it's a really important thing. And you point this out in your book as well. You have to sort of get your act together a little bit and know what your triggers are and know what your own buttons are and the early messages you got when you were young that were not very positive. And so you're ready to defend those things when anything slightly rings of that your partner might say to you, and you're ready to defend that because you're so uptight about that particular issue, you know, within yourself.
Yeah, and I think your point being, and the words you use, patterns of behavior,
mm-hmm.
I think is exactly what happens that with people who aren't ready or aren't willing or don't want to see into the future. They fall back on their old patterns of behavior
yeah.
to, I'm not going to say defend themselves, but to
yeah.
to react to different circumstances. They just fall back to their patterns that are familiar to them and see things through their old filters, and that can go all the way back to childhood, but it could be just as recent as an old relationship or the
yeah.
latest relationship, like this person did this to me, and so I'm expecting you to do the same.
Wow.
When it may not be that way at all.
Yeah, and just, you know, as a neurosurgeon, you know too, you know, from the scientific point of view, we learn things through repetition and rehearsal. We build those neural patterns, so we automatically sort of, I call it mentally knee-jerk react to certain things. They are just bad behaviors, but they're habits, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's like you said, they're patterns of behavior, mm-hmm. and it's not as simple as, you know, a spinal reflex, like you tap on the person's knee and they jerk, but it's really close. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have the sensory input, you have the memory of a certain experience, and all of a sudden you find yourself behaving the exact same way, this pattern of behavior.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to just do a side thought here, something that I'm fascinated with, and I know I've gotten some input from listeners about. You mentioned that men and women are firing differently. You know, they light up differently in the brain. What can you just briefly, first of all, just share what some of the differences are in our brains?
Oh, sure. Just to sort of briefly describe it, there are different types of test, and I don't, imaging basically is what it is, looking at patterns of blood flow in the brain.
Yeah.
If the person is reacting, or the neurons are firing, or they're having certain thoughts, different patterns, different portions of the brain use different types of blood flow. In other words, if you're thinking, say the frontal lobe is going to be experiencing the blood flow. Mm. And so when you put men and women in different circumstances, have them become sexually aroused, show them different types of photographs in terms of beauty, ugliness, whatever the case may be, put them in a scary situation, each person's, male and female, their brain sites react differently, and they fire differently. Mm. Just a good example is that most males, you know, the old cliche is they're good at mathematics, and women are good in languages.
Right.
And it's true. If you show a mathematical problem to a man or a woman, different portions of their brains are going to light up because they're analyzing it differently.
Wow.
Same thing with language.
Isn't that cool? And is it still true that, you know, what they have the right brain versus the left brain, right? Right brain is more supposedly, you know, artistic, communicative, emotional, that kind of thing. Left brain is spatial, mathematical. Is that true? Is that
right? Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Sure.
And so,
There have been studies done where patients who've had severe seizures, they have what, and you will know this, where they cut the connection between the right and left hemispheres, corpus callosum, and you can isolate the artistic portion of the person and the analytical portion of the person, and it's absolutely right and left brain.
Wow. And it is true that men do tend to be more analytic, and women are more emotional verbal. They're lighting up a lot more in those areas.
Absolutely. Wow. And when you say analytical, that's a good word for it for males, and for females, it's almost more emotional intuitive.
Mm. I like that.
Yeah, I. That's why I like women the way they think. I like the emotional intuitiveness versus the analytical. I can do the analytical.
Yeah.
It's the intuitive that I need.
Yeah, that's really true. I didn't want to go there, but I just flashed on, you know, a couple of clients who I used to have, businessmen, who used to complain about some of the colleagues they would work with who were female, because they just didn't get, they took some of the, this is really controversial. I know, guys, I don't want to hear nasty letters, okay? So just, I'm doing a disclaimer right now. But that, you know, it's so difficult to work with some of these women because they tend to want to put emotion into every single business transaction we have. And it's like, that I don't have time for that. Is that fair to say that, you know, we do as women, not that we're less qualified, but we do tend to look at solving problems differently?
And I think that's one of the wonderful things about women. They do look at solving problems differently and come up with different solutions that very well may be better than your analytical, direct mathematical approach. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. By the way, in case you want to call in here on LA Talk Radio, feel free to do so here on the couch with Dr. Michelle. That's me, 323-203-0815. Email me. You're shy. You don't want to get your voice on the air? Go ahead. Do so. Doc Michelle, DLC Michelle with two L's at AOL. And we're talking to my special guest today, Dr. Charles Rawlings. We've had him on the show before. You may have heard him talk about, he's a specialist. He's such a renaissance guy, medical doctor of neurosurgery, an attorney, and he's the author of the book we're talking about today. It really is that complicated about men's and women's differences in relationships. So let's get to the meat of this stuff. Let's get into these relationship issues. what are some of the observations that you've had and information that you can give to women to help them understand the behaviors and thinking of a lot of men?
That's a good question. Okay. Men, as we've already sort of touched upon, are very analytical. And the more evolved they are, the more analytical they become, but they also are able to occasionally touch on their intuitiveness. Hmm. So just remember that they approach many things very simply and mm-hmm. very logically.
Okay.
They are also problem solvers, especially alpha males.
Yeah.
They want to solve a problem. Mm. And that's where there's a huge gap. Mm. Many women don't necessarily want their problems solved or don't even have problems in their mind. They want to discuss it. They mm-hmm. just want a sounding board for them to discuss what went on during the day, what happened in this particular project, bouncing ideas off of you. They don't necessarily want the males to jump right in and say, okay, well, since that's a problem, do this, 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 and this, and that's going to solve all that, and okay, let's go on to the next one.
Yes.
Women don't want that, mm-hmm. but that's what men do, and it takes a while to teach a guy that that's not necessarily what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And so occasionally you have to be patient. He means well.
Yeah,
he's
sure
just
he does.
Doing it the male's way.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Interesting. No, that's fascinating. I love that.
Yeah, and again, most males are, especially alpha males, are mm-hmm. fixers.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
They want to be, well, they need to be needed.
Mm-hmm.
You, as a female, give them some project, give mm-hmm. them something, some feedback saying they're necessary, they're needed, and they're going to eat that up.
Mm-hmm.
All the way from, you know, some complex chemical formula that only they could do to something as simple as, oh, you're great at mowing the lawn.
Yeah.
If you tell some male they're great at mowing the lawn,
yeah.
they're probably going to go start mowing the lawn.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Because they think you think they're the greatest thing that ever walked the earth,
oh.
mowing the lawn.
Oh.
So, I mean, that's some of my just sort of basic, mm-hmm. overarching mm-hmm. observations about males.
Mm-hmm.
Just, they're fairly simple. They're fairly analytical. Oh. They're problem solvers. They're fixers.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. Because most males, if they're in a relationship and are committed to you, I mean, they have your best interest at heart.
Well, sure.
They may be somewhat clumsy in showing it or
yeah.
acting upon it, but yeah. just be patient with them.
I love that. See, that's great. Yeah, I have had this couple who, lovely people, and for years, it's they're working on this thing. They both have great jobs, but she does have a tendency to complain about her superior, who is always on her. He's not a real nice person. And it makes her feel less than, and she's really a smart person and does an excellent job. But, you know, there's a control issue going on there with her superior, and that's fine. But when she comes home and tells her husband, oh, my God, you wouldn't believe what he said to me today. And the guy obviously doesn't, you know how to speak to his employees properly or appropriately. But the husband says, I'm just so frustrated when after she starts just downloading, and I say to him, just listen, you don't have to fix it. You're not going to fix her boss. You're not going to fix, just relax, just let her go. And right, she'll feel bad.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, your first, as a male, the first thought would be, okay, can you file a sexual harassment claim with the EOC?
Right.
Or
right.
Do you need to do a lateral move? Do you need to move your job? And the woman's just like, I'm just talking to you. We're not doing any of that. Don't be stupid.
Yeah.
So.
No action needed here. Just please just kind of even pretend like you're listening and nod your head occasionally.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say pretend, because if this is a smart woman, she's going to ask you later. There is a quiz at the end.
There always is a pop quiz, isn't there? And and there's always a, remember when you did this to me, usually like 6 years ago, when we were here and you said this thing that really hurt me. Huh? Are you kidding?
Absolutely. Yeah, that, I will back up. That is another thing from a male standpoint, is we tend to go past things and get over things and don't bring them up.
Mm-hmm.
Women, on the other hand, if they have not cleared the air or it's been festering, they will bring stuff up from the past.
Uh-huh.
And so, as a male, you tend not to do that, but as a woman, that happens frequently.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. By the way, I just got an email from Shireen, a listener in San Diego, and she said, Doc Michelle, you'll like this. Sounds like you and Dr. Rawlings are bad-mouthing women. What's going on? No, Shireen, we're not doing that. No,
not at all.
No,
wow, no.
Just keep listening to the show. We're going to talk about all the good stuff and all the wonderful attributes. No, we're not talking. No, come on. We're just sort of saying that men and women think differently, and understanding that will really make your relationship a lot better. Yeah,
there's you can tell there's no judgment here. I mean, there's none of this that we've talked about from a female standpoint is, quote, bad. I mean, I rarely use that word anyway, because it just is. And it's just, that's what makes relationships complicated, that you have to be able to recognize this in your partner's behavior, basically.
And when you say it really is that complicated in your book, it's not a negative. It's just saying, okay, let's figure this out. Let me tell you why you have to understand what's going on between men and women. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, just the simple fact of a relationship being complicated is neither judgmental, good or bad. I mean,
yeah,
to some people it could be excellent. They need something complicated to keep them interested.
Yeah.
It could be, quote, bad for some people that can't handle complicated relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. What I also enjoyed is you have an observation in your book about a lot of women, and I'm going to quote you here. You say, they want what they cannot have. So what do you mean by this, and why is this?
Sure.
Yeah.
And this is one of the I shouldn't say experiences. It's an accumulated knowledge that I had gotten from so many women that they will come to you and say, you know, I don't know, and I know you see this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's wrong with me, because I really want a guy who's a committed person who will love me, send me flowers. You know, I want the white picket fence, all that sort of stuff. And they're fooling themselves, because that's not what they want. What they really want is sort of the bad guy, the guy who sort of strings them along, doesn't necessarily call them, doesn't necessarily ask them out on second dates, doesn't necessarily take them out on Saturday night, but wants to go out on Wednesday night, but they buy into it, and they keep dating these same people for any number, any number of reasons. But they want what they can't have, because they think they want it, but subconsciously that's not what they want.
Right.
And I know you see that
from your
interactions.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we get into a little deeper insight into, let's just say, the woman's background, what we find is that, yeah, I mean, there may be some unresolved issues with, and I hate to go Freudian on you, but I mean, the Faja, the dad issue, unresolved with, you know, male siblings, past relationships that have not been successful with men. You know, there's always a searching out, and they feel they deserve, among many things, they deserve to not be treated as well as they should. The bad boys, they're all so exciting and intriguing and all that, but that's unhealthy, basically. So
I would go and say two things, and the first part is, I think it does, like you said, have something to do with low self-esteem, that if they're actually finding some guy who loves them and is willing to take care of them and is committed to them, and I use the word taking care very loosely because I can hear the emails coming now, and, you know, treats them nicely, then they, in their own mind, they're like, oh, this guy, there must be something really wrong with him because he can't possibly feel that way about me. And it sort of is a mirror of their own self-esteem. And then the other sort of theory or idea that I would propound is that society has these expectations and mores for women that, you know, they get married, they're monogamous, they have 2.5 kids, live in the white picket fence, and that's what a sort of the white knight syndrome that I'm sure you've seen. And that has been pounded into them since childhood, and so they've got that first and foremost in their mind. But if they're really honest with themselves, they go, you know, that's not what I want right now. I'm not at that stage. And it's okay if I date these type of guys. But they never, most of them never get there.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. You just kind of keep repeating those patterns and stuff. It's so true. By the way, in case you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Dr. Charles Rawlings. We're talking about his latest book. He's Superman is what I call him. He's a medical doctor of neurosurgery and an attorney, and that's just a few of the small things that he's accomplished here. And his latest book is It Really Is That Complicated. It's about male and female relationships and really helps you understand the dynamics and the thinking patterns and why we have so many problems. And it's not complicated in the negative sense, folks. It's just getting it and understanding the way each other thinks. So I you know, you talked a little bit ago, Charles, about, okay, you can see the emails coming. You're ready? You guys sit,
I am.
You guys sitting down? You have a chapter in your book. You know what I'm going to say, don't you, Charles?
It
says, all women are prostitutes. What is up with that?
is up with that? Well, first, clearly it's a very controversial title, and it grabs everyone's attention.
Yes.
The group of folks that I had sort of vet the book to begin with, reading it, there was a group of them that obviously not necessarily took issue with the chapter or title, but were okay, what's up with this? You know, this is going to be very controversial. Are you sure you want to do this? Because you may alienate a lot of your readers, all that sort of stuff. And in fact, one of the women was an escort, and she was the most vehement about it. She said, you can't use this title. It's going to alienate all the women. You're going to turn everyone off, blah, blah, blah. So I was actually quite amused that she had such a strong reaction to it. But anyway, it's primarily because it's controversial, because once you start reading the chapter, it gets more into the economics of dating and why, because this was a question that I was asked a lot, why would any male go date or see an escort? And if you look at the economics of dating all the way through like the first 3 to 5 dates, versus a male who may not be wanting to have a commitment, just have fun, the escort makes a lot more sense from a cost-benefit analysis. And then women always, and men do this too, believe me, I am not, it is not solely about women. Women and men use things to gain advantage in a relationship. And it can be money, it can be sex, it can be just trading off chores, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But everyone does that in a relationship, whether mm-hmm. it's money, whatever. Like, take a typical housewife. She gets a, quote, allowance from her husband, and she's doing this, but she takes this money, and in return, she gives out certain things for the husband.
Yeah.
And it just goes across the board. And it's more of an economic chapter than it is almost anything.
Okay. So it was more of a catchy chapter
title. Sure. In fact, a friend of mine and I were talking last night about this particular one, because she was describing her latest relationship, mm-hmm. and she's like, oh, my God, I am now an illustration for that one chapter, because
uh-oh.
She was describing what she was doing for this guy and what he was doing for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, my God, I am number one illustration of that chapter.
Oh, boy. Well, maybe, you know, and I know you helped her a great deal, and you know, it's a give and take. See, it's not about she being the prostitute to get what she wants from it. It's give and take, right?
Sure, it's a mutual, it's a mutual, I guess, bargain.
There you go.
Speak.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, because I am definitely not talking about, you know, servitude or non-consensual.
Sexual favors.
It's definitely a bargain between two people.
Sure it is. We've talked about women and some of the, thinking they have about men and the kind of relationships they want, how they love to kind of get into relationships with the bad boys. So let's talk about some of the characteristics or personality styles that you think make men fall in love with women. Because I have a lot of female clients who come in and say, what can I do to be more, whatever, attractive or a better partner or someone who somebody else would like to date?
Wow, okay. Mm-hmm. And what I'm going to say may be, probably is not what they're looking for, but I think it probably is the most effective.
Okay.
For that, I would probably tell them, first, know yourself. Know what you want. Be confident about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There is absolutely nothing wrong with you as a person. You are a perfect example of whatever it is that you are. And be confident. Be happy. Be happy with your life.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I would say, be happy. Just be, always smile. I mean, there's nothing so bad that you can't find some joy in it. I don't think you need to do any major makeovers. Just be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there are plenty of men out there. And there is someone out there that will find you totally adorable, totally beautiful,
mm-hmm.
and will date you, will commit to you. Don't bring your baggage. Don't bring your filters. Just get rid of all those. But
mm-hmm.
to do that, you have to search yourself
mm-hmm.
and know what you want.
Yeah.
And be yourself. That would be my best bet.
Yeah.
Be funny and be yourself.
No, I really love that. It's true. There's so much pressure these days, particularly on women. I see it happening more on men, but, women think because of all of the media exposure, social, media, and we have to all look like, Beyonce. We all have to look, right? I mean, we all have to be, amazingly beautiful, skinny models. We all have to, and reality shows are really, I think, poison our minds sometimes. And magazines, media, how we should look. Walking the red carpet, especially here in Los Angeles. We're all crazy out here, don't you, Doctor? You know that, right?
Absolutely. That's what they call it, La La Land.
Yeah, there you go. So, but my point, I guess, is that this is an international radio show, but every major city and minor cities and towns all across America, the whole thing is you've got to look perfect. You've got to be beautiful. You've got to be this. And that really can mess up a lot of women who don't have, the ability to, they don't have the genetics, they don't have the plastic surgery, that a lot of these people have. They have their own genetics, and that's the way it is. And I love the way you say, be yourself. Know that there are people out there who will love you for your darling self that you are. That's neat. That's
absolutely
really neat.
I mean, Increase your intellect. Increase your intellect. Go find something you love and do it. I mean, believe me, there are any number of people who have weird hobbies. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter whether you collect G.I. Joes or not. Whatever you do, there is a huge subset of people that do the same thing.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Yeah. It's like in that movie, 40-something, you know, where he collected... in all the old shows, dolls, Star Wars, and Star Trek and all that. So, well, there's nothing wrong with that, I say.
No, absolutely. I mean, you'll find someone that has the same interests that
you do. That's it. I mean, that's it. And you know what? Social media, you can find somebody. You know, you can dress up and go to those Star Trek conventions, fall in love. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Absolutely.
By the way, in case you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Dr. Charles Rawlings, medical doctor of neurosurgery, an attorney, and also the author of the book we are focusing on today. It's called It Really Is That Complicated. It's about relationships and why men and women do things. And Dr. Rawlings has looked into our brains. So he knows... This goes way beyond the outward appearances here. Let's talk about some of the fallacies that men have about women that really cause problems.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. We're going to get heavy on you guys.
Yeah.
Well,
I think a very good point you've already made earlier is the example of the male executives talking about women and their emotions. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the fallacies that men have, that all women are always hormonal, always emotional, can't think, have problems focusing. That, I mean, that right there is probably one of the first fallacies that I would I would touch on.
Mm-hmm.
Fallacies about their periods and their PMSing and all that.
I mean, great excuse.
Most
though.
Of it is nonsense, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But it comes up in a relationship, and that can be very harmful in a relationship if the male doesn't take the woman seriously just because she doesn't quite think like he does.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else? What are the
And there really is something about hormonal changes, big time. We all have them, men and women. So, I mean, they do affect our... I mean, they make us crazy sometimes. So, you guys have to be patient. Yeah. It's true.
No, it is true. I mean, there's all these fallacies about it takes women, you know, hours and hours to get ready just to go out for 30 minutes, or they have to look perfect all the time, or... when they travel, they take six pieces of luggage. I mean, all those are fallacies, and it's just it's more of a superficial type thought process.
Right. It's not really, you know, most women don't fall under these categories. I mean, you know, a lot of people who generalize, they've been watching too much of the Kardashians, you know, on reality TV. That's what
absolutely,
I see. So let's talk about some of the behaviors and situations that can really destroy relationships. What are some of the most common issues that you see?
Probably lack of communication.
Mm-hmm.
You don't trust the other person for whatever reason, primarily for some of the issues that you carry into the relationship yourself. Then you shut down communication, and once communication and trust is abrogated or at least truncated, then the relationship is on its way to the end anyway, unless something drastic happens to change the communication and the trust. I think that's probably number one, is the communication issue and the trust issue. And that bleeds into, and it's not necessarily the third one, but that bleeds into the sexual issues about sexual satisfaction. But also, it all ties in with finances.
Mm-hmm.
Financial trust, financial communication can really, really damage a relationship. And then not... bringing in baggage because you don't know exactly yourself what you want, and trying to get the other person to fulfill, like we talked about, the holes in your own psyche.
Yeah.
I think those are probably the main the main problems areas.
Mm-hmm. That's really, that's great information. And people really need to take a lot of, really focus on the communication, the sexual issues and the finances and all those little peripheral things. And most importantly, like you said, look at themselves and what are they contributing in a negative? What are their fears? What are their triggers that are really, I guess they're real to them, but honestly, they may, it's their truth, but it's not the truth. They just have to work on some of those old, you know, scary feelings they have about themselves that their partners are assuming, which really aren't true. So yeah, that's where I come in to help folks.
That's where you come in, absolutely.
You know, I love a suggestion that you also have in your book, It Really Is That Complicated, where you say, along with enjoying each new day together, okay, couples should start anew and examine the issues of trust and acceptance. Whew, those are biggies. So how can we, first of all, how can we start anew? And how can we try to examine those issues of trust? How can we work on those things, trust and acceptance?
Yeah, interesting question. How do you start anew?
Hmm.
Just recognize that every day starts a new day.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be the start of your new life, if you want to be really heavy about it, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
You can get rid of your filters. You can examine why you do certain behaviors that may be negative or may have toxic effects on other folks,
mm-hmm.
and get rid of them, and just start anew.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the issues of trust and acceptance, that's communication.
Mm-hmm.
But it also is based on the fact that you should not have any type of fear.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't have any fear in your life,
right.
Because that's what trust is. It's because you're afraid that something is going to happen.
Sure.
And just from a communication standpoint, start talking.
Mm-hmm.
Just start trusting the person you're with. Because if you can't trust the person in your relationship, you shouldn't be there to begin with.
Boy, is that true. That's so true. And, you know, explore a little bit about why you have some of those trust issues. And it's no-brainer a lot of times. You've been betrayed or abandoned by people and or caregivers or whatever, but excuse me, somehow you have to really work on just the only way, knowing that the only way you're going to have a healthy relationship is you've got to let go and trust someone. You've got to be able to do that and not keep those walls
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely, and communicating with your partner, saying, you know, this is what happened, and I'm not necessarily talking about comparing girlfriends or boyfriends, but just saying, this is what happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I am worried about it happening again,
yep,
and that's why I'm talking to you about it.
Yep. Well, Charles, as always, time flies when you're having fun. Our interviews always go so fast, and I never get to enough time to pick your brain and, let everyone know, more about the details in your book, which is called It Really Is That Complicated. So what's the best way that listeners can find out more about you and get your book?
Well, let's see. They can... Obviously, it's at Barnes & Noble or Amazon if they want to go that route.
Yeah.
They can go onto the website, It Really Is That Complicated Book.com,
mm-hmm.
and can order it from there or learn more about it. Then go to my website, which is charlesrawlings.com, and that has a lot of the information that they need, and they can order it from them.
Sure.
You can also order it directly from me, or you can order it directly from the publisher Author House.
Oh, super. Great. Well, we'll have all that information up in the archives. The show, by the way, will be available for downloading and replaying, everybody, with all the archived information tomorrow. So if you missed something or you tuned in a little late, you want to get the real scoop about why it really is all that complicated between men and women, by my special guest today, Dr. Charles Rawlings. Just, tune in, replay, push it. It'll pop up and you'll be happy. All right. Charles, thank you so much for being on the show. It's always a pleasure to have you. You are a superstar and a Renaissance man, neurosurgeon and an attorney and many other, and an author and a publisher. Oh, my goodness. So Good for you. It's so nice to have you,
Michelle,
out there.
It's always a pleasure, and you know, anytime, and I think you're a superwoman as well.
So. Oh, thank you. That means all the world to me. Thanks, Charles.
Okay.
Stay in touch, and we'll look forward to your next book.
Yes, ma'am. It certainly will be coming out soon enough.
I hear that. All right.
Okay.
Take care now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right. Again, Dr. Charles Rawlings, the book, it really is that complicated. Not a negative statement. It's a really positive statement. It's good. You just got to figure it out a little bit. So you got to do a little work. People out there can't give you everything all the time. You got to work on yourself first inside. I also want to thank my sponsors of today's show, as always, Glow Soulwear. It's the clothing company that puts love and light in every stitch. Glow Soulwear is high-quality sports and nice casual clothing with awe-inspiring sacred geometrical designs. So when you put on a Glow Soulwear fabric, you wear a higher vibration. Lighten up, feel better, and check out GlowSoulwear.com. GlowSoulwear.com. All right, everybody, have a great day. And as I always say, do take care of yourselves first, and then you will be great for others. I'll be back next week, another great guest to help you with your issues here on The Couch with Dr. Michelle. Bye-bye.
Got you on my mind again tonight. Seeing flashing red.